Brave New World by Aldous Huxley. Dramatized by Stephen Mulryan. With Gary Cady as the Savage, Jack Claff as Mustafa Mond, the Controller of Western Europe, Moya Leslie as Lenina Crown, Jonathan Taffler as Bernard Marks, and Francis de la Tour as Linda. Brave New World.
This is the fertilizing room. Now, follow me, ladies and gentlemen. I shall begin at the beginning. These are the incubators. The weak supply of ova, here, kept at blood heat. And the male gametes, here, kept at 35 degrees, note, not 37.
Full blood heat sterilizes, sir?
Correct. After fertilization, of course, the ova are returned here to the incubators where alphas and betas will remain until definitely bottled. Gammas, deltas, and epsilons, on the other hand, are brought out again to undergo Bokanovsky's process.
Bokanovsky, sir?
Yes. Essentially, Bokanovsky's process consists of a series of arrests of development. We check the normal growth, and paradoxically, the egg responds by budding. It takes 8 minutes for the tubes to go through. That's about as much as an egg can stand of hard x-rays. A few die, of course, but most put out 4 buds. Some as many as 8. They're returned to the incubators, the buds begin to develop, and after 2 days, they're suddenly chilled. Normal growth is arrested, and the buds, in turn, produce buds. They're then removed from the incubators, dosed with alcohol, growth is again checked, buds form. Bud out of bud. And the embryos are then left to develop, by which time our original egg is in a fair way to becoming anything from 8 to 96 embryos.
96.
A prodigious improvement on nature, I'm sure you'll agree.
Yes.
Sir, I'm not sure I understand.
My dear boy, can't you see? Anyone?
Bokanovsky's process is one of the major instruments of social stability.
Precisely. Standard men and women in uniform batches. The whole of a small factory staffed with the products of a single Bokanovskified egg. 96 identical twins working 96 identical machines. For the first time in history, you really know where you are. Community, identity, stability.
Community, identity, stability!
Yes! True, we can't Bokanovskify indefinitely, but in exceptional cases, we can make one ovary yield us over 15,000 adult individuals. Mr. Forster.
Director.
Mr. Forster, can you tell us the record for a single ovary, please?
In this centre, sir, 16,012. That's in 189 batches of identicals. Of course, they've done much better in some of the tropical centres, but we mean to beat them if we can.
That's the spirit. Come along with us and give these students the benefit of your expert knowledge.
With pleasure, sir.
Really, Lenina? Do you mean to tell me you're still going out with Henry Forster?
But it's only about 4 months.
Lenina? Seriously, I do really think you ought to be careful. It's such horrible bad form to go on like this with one man. You know how strongly the director objects to anything intense or long drawn. Why, he'd be furious if he knew. Lenina? Well, there's no need to give him up. Just have somebody else from time to time, that's all. He has other girls, hasn't he?
But of course.
You see? That shows what he stands for, the strictest conventionality. And you really ought to be a little more promiscuous. One's got to make the effort. After all, everyone belongs to everyone else.
Yes, you're quite right, as usual. Everyone belongs to everyone else. I'll make the effort.
Oh, isn't that divine?
Oh, Regina, yes. I wonder if there's a vibromassage machine free. You know, to tell you the truth, Annie, I'm beginning to get just a tiny bit bored with nothing but Henry every day. Do you know Bernard Murdoch?
Oh, you don't mean to say...
Why not? Bernard's now for plus. Besides, he's asked me to go to one of the savage reservations with him.
But his reputation, Lenina. They say he spends most of his time by himself, alone.
Well, he won't be alone when he's with me. Anyhow, why are people so beastly to him? I think he's rather sweet.
Oh, he's so ugly.
I rather like his look.
And he's so small. They say somebody made a mistake when he was still in the bottle. Thought he was a gamma and put alcohol into his blood surrogate. That's why he's so stunted.
Oh, what nonsense.
Oh, that's cruel!
And here we have social predestination. 88 cubic meters of card index brought up to date every morning.
So many individuals of such and such quality. Unforeseen wastages promptly made good.
Promptly? If you knew the amount of overtime I had to put in after the last Japanese earthquake.
Let's take the escalator. The predestinators send their figures to the fertilizers, who supply the embryos they ask for, and the bottles come here to be predestinated in detail. Give them a few figures, Mr. Forster.
Well, each of these racks, though you can't see it, is travelling at the rate of 8 meters a day. And each bottle will remain on the conveyor for 267 days.
And on the 267th morning, daylight in the decanting room. Independent existence. Yes.
But in the interval, we've managed to do a lot to them. Oh, a very great deal.
Well, all I can say is that I'm going to accept. And I do want to see a savage reservation.
You're hopeless, Lenina. I give you up.
Do I look all right?
Perfect. Very pneumatic.
Oh, Fanny, darling. Let's make peace.
Look.
Oh, Lenina, what a perfectly sweet Malthusian belt.
It's real Morocco surrogate. Do you like it?
Oh!
It holds the regulation supply of contraceptives, too.
I simply must get one.
Henry Foster gave it me. I'm wearing it this evening. 2 rounds of obstacle golf before dark, then the Westminster Abbey Cabaret. It's Calvin Stone.
Oh, and it's 16 sex sophonists. Wonderful.
Yes. Then back to Henry's room, 1/2 gram of Soma.
Oh, Lenina, do ask Henry where he got that belt.
Of course, we don't content ourselves with merely hatching out embryos. Any cow could do that. We also predestine and condition. We decant our babies as socialized human beings, as alphas or epsilons, as future sewage workers or future directors of hatcheries.
Thank you, Mr. Forster.
As you can see, the mechanic here, a beta plus?
That's correct.
Is reducing the number of revolutions per minute. The blood surrogate goes round slower, therefore passes through the lungs at longer intervals, therefore gives the embryo less oxygen. Nothing like oxygen shortage for keeping an embryo below par.
But why do you want to keep the embryo below par?
Hasn't it occurred to you that an epsilon embryo must have an epsilon environment as well as an epsilon heredity?
The lower the caste, the shorter the oxygen. The first organ to be affected is the brain, and in epsilons we just don't need human intelligence. Now over here, just past the 1100 meter mark on rack 3, we have a batch of embryonic rocket engineers. Oh. This special mechanism keeps their containers in constant rotation to improve their sense of balance. We slacken off the circulation when they're right way up, so that they're upside down. They learn to associate topsy-turvydom with well-being. In fact, they're only truly happy when they're standing on their heads. Now, I'd like to show you some very interesting conditioning for Alpha Plus intellectuals. We have a big batch of them on rack 5.
I'm sorry, Mr. Forster. 10 to 3. No time for the intellectual embryos, I'm afraid. We must go up to the nurseries before the children have finished their afternoon sleep. Some other time, perhaps.
Bernard, I was looking for you.
Lenina, hello.
I wanted to talk to you about our New Mexico trip. I'd simply love to come with you for a week in July. That is, if you still want to have me.
Look, Lenina, hadn't we better talk about it somewhere else?
Why?
I mean, with all these people about.
How funny you are. Now, you'll give me at least a week's warning, won't you?
Lenina, I...
Bernard, what on earth is the matter? Oh, anyway, I must fly, Bernard. I'm meeting Henry Forster on the roof. Let me know in good time about the date. Bye.
Well, I should say she was pretty, eh? Pneumatic, too.
And how?
Yes.
I say, Marks, you don't look glum. What you need is a gram of soma. 1 cubic centimeter cures 10 gloomy sentiments.
Shut up!
Well, really? What's the matter with the fellow?
Here we are, ladies and gentlemen. The infant nursery. And before we enter the Neo-Pavlovian conditioning rooms, a little background. Once upon a time, while our Ford was still on Earth, there was a little Polish boy called Rubin Rabinovich. You know what Polish is, I suppose?
A dead language, sir, like French and German.
And what about parent?
Well, sir, when the babies were decanted...
Born?
Well, then they were the parents. I mean, the parents were the father and mother.
The mother, yes. These are unpleasant facts, I know. Most historical facts are unpleasant. Anyway, in those days of gross viviparous reproduction, children were always brought up by their parents and not in state conditioning centres. And little Reuben's mother and father, one evening, by an oversight, happened to leave the radio turned on in his bedroom. While the child was asleep, a broadcast program from London started to come through. And the next morning, to the astonishment of his mother and father, little Reuben woke up repeating, word for word, a long lecture by a curious old writer, one of the very few whose works have been permitted to come down to us, George Bernard Shaw. The principle of sleep teaching or hypnopedia had been discovered. However, those early experimenters were on the wrong track. They thought that hypnopedia could be made an instrument of intellectual education, whereas if they'd only started on moral education... Let's go in. Now, everyone, absolute silence, please. Mustn't wake the babies. Nurse?
Yes, Director.
What's the lesson this afternoon?
Well, we had elementary sex for the first 40 minutes, but now it's switched over to elementary class consciousness.
Elementary class consciousness. Let's have it a little louder.
Stupid to be able to read or write. Besides, they wear black, which is a beastly color. I'm so glad I'm a beta. Alpha children wear gray. They work much harder than we do because they're so frightfully clever. I'm really awfully glad I'm a beta because I don't work so hard. And then we are much better than the gammas and deltas. Gammas are stupid. They all wear green, and Delta children wear khaki. Oh, no, I don't want to play with Delta children. And Epsilons are still worse.
Yes.
They're too stupid.
They'll have that repeated 40 or 50 times more before they wake. 120 times, 3 times a week, for 30 months. After which, they go on to a more advanced lesson. This is the greatest moralizing and socializing force of all time.
I really enjoyed the golf, Henry. Oh, let's just go to the Feelies this evening, shall we? I hear the new one at the Alhambra is first rate. There's a love scene on a bearskin rug. They say it's marvelous. Every hair of the bear reproduced, the most amazing tactile effects.
All right. Look, Lenina, that's the Hounslow Feely studio now. Do you see?
They must be changing the shift. All those gammas and epsilons, they're like ants. I suppose they're queuing up for a place in one of those monorail things. I'm glad we don't have to. Khaki's a hideous colour, don't you think?
Of course. And that's Slough Crematorium now. We'll soon be home.
Henry, why do the smokestacks have those things like balconies round them?
Phosphorus recovery. More than 1.5 kilos per adult corpse. Yes, it's fine to think we can go on being socially useful even after we're dead, making plants grow.
True. But isn't it queer that alphas and betas, won't make any more plants grow than those nasty little gammas and deltas and epsilons down there.
All men are physico-chemically equal. Besides, even epsilons are useful.
Oh, yes. Everyone works for everyone else. I suppose epsilons don't really mind being epsilons.
Of course they don't. How can they?
I'm glad I'm not one.
But if you were an epsilon, your conditioning would have made you no less thankful that you weren't a beta or an alpha. Everybody's happy now.
Yes, everybody's happy now. Well, I'm not sure about Bernard Marx.
Oh, him. He's a rhinoceros. You can't teach a rhinoceros tricks, and some men are like that. They don't respond properly to conditioning, poor devil. Bernard's one of them. He's pretty harmless, huh?
Pretty disquieting, all the same. That mania of his for doing things in private. I mean, what can you do in private? Apart from going to bed, of course, and you can't do that all the time. Do you know what he wanted to do our first afternoon together? Go walking in the Lake District. Land on top of Skiddaw and walk for a couple of hours in the heather, alone with me.
But surely you'd be alone all night.
No, he meant alone for talking.
Talking? What about?
Himself. He was really miserable the whole afternoon. Absolutely refused a half gram of soma. I'd rather be myself, he said. Myself and nasty. Not somebody else, however jolly.
1 cubic centimetre.
Cures 10 gloomy sentiments, of course it does. And a gram in time saves 9. He said he wanted to be more on his own, not just a cell in the social body.
Really?
It's horrible. How could he talk like that, about not wanting to be part of the social body? After all, everyone works for everyone else. We can't do without anyone. Even epsilons.
Even epsilons are useful.
Exquisite little creature, isn't she? You know, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm going to tell you may sound incredible. But for a very long period before the time of our Ford, and even for some generations afterwards, erotic play between children was regarded as abnormal. And not only abnormal, actually immoral.
Sir, do you mean children weren't allowed to amuse themselves?
Even adolescents, like yourself.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Barring a little surreptitious autoerotism and homosexuality. Absolutely nothing.
Nothing?
In most cases, until they were over 20 years old.
20 years old?
20. I told you you'd find it incredible.
But, sir, what happened? What were the results?
I can tell you. The results were terrible. Terrible.
Controller, what an unexpected pleasure. Students, what are you thinking of? This is the controller. This is his fortship, Mustafa Mond, the resident controller for Western Europe, one of the 10 world controllers.
Yes, yes, director. I'll take over from here, I think.
You mean you'll stay and actually talk to the...
It's all right, Thomas. I won't corrupt them. Now, you all remember, I suppose, that beautiful and inspired saying of our Ford's, history is bunk. History is bunk.
Shut lips, sleeping faces, every something machine, every stopped machine. Yes. Shut lips, sleeping faces, every stopped machine. The dumb and littered, that's it, yes. Littered places where crowds have been. Shut lips, sleeping faces, every stopped machine, the dumb and littered places where crowds have been. Yes, Helmholtz, Emotional Engineering.
Helmholtz? It's me, Bernard.
Oh.
I'm at the door. Are you busy?
Yes. I mean, no, of course not. Come in.
Hello.
Come in, please. Sit down. Helmholtz, what on earth have you been hiding these days?
I've just been working on some new poems, that's all. You know, this last week or two, I've been cutting all my committees and all my girls. You can't imagine what a hullabaloo they're making about it down at the college. Still, I think it's worth it. I think. But did you ever feel, Bernard, as though you had something inside you? Hmm? Some sort of extra power that you aren't using.
You mean all the emotions one might be feeling if things were different?
Not quite. No, I'm thinking of a queer feeling I sometimes get, a feeling that I've got something important to say and the power to say it, only I just don't know what it is, and I can't make any use of the power.
But your things are good, Helmholtz.
No, as far as they go. But they go such a little way. You know, words can be like X-rays. Well, if you use them properly, they'll go through anything. You read and you're pierced. You see, that's one of the things I try to teach my students, how to write piercingly. But what on earth's the good of being pierced by an article about a Ford's Day community sing or the latest improvement in scent organs? Actually, you know, I have been working on something.
Shh! I think there's somebody at the door. I'm sorry. I suppose I've let things get on my nerves a bit. Actually, I'm taking Lena Crown to New Mexico with me.
Try to imagine what living with one's family was like, what a home was like. Home, a few small rooms, stiflingly over-inhabited by a man, a periodically teeming woman. A rabbit hole, a midden, reeking with emotion. What suffocating intimacies. What dangerous, insane, obscene relationships. Maniacally, the mother brooding over her children. Her children brooding over them like a cat over its kittens. But a cat that could talk. A cat that could say, my baby, over and over again. My baby, and oh, oh, at my breast, the little hands, the hunger, and that unspeakable agonizing pleasure till at last my baby sleeps. My baby sleeps with a bubble of white milk at the corner of his mouth. My little baby sleeps.
I think I'm going to be sick.
Yes. You may well shudder. And our Freud, or our Freud, as he chose to call himself whenever he spoke of psychological matters, our Freud was the first to reveal the appalling dangers of family life. The world was full of mothers, therefore of every kind of perversion, from sadism to chastity, full of brothers, sisters, uncles, aunts, full of madness and suicide. And there were also husbands, wives, lovers, everywhere, exclusiveness.
But, sir... surely everyone belongs to everyone else.
Yes.
Indeed. No wonder those poor pre-moderns were mad and wicked and miserable. My love, my baby. They were forced to feel strongly and feeling strongly in solitude, in hopelessly individual isolation. How could they be stable?
Stability!
Yes, stability. The primal and ultimate need. Stability.
Well, it's most disrespectful.
Oh, yes. I wonder what his excuse will be this time. This is the third solidarity service in a row he's been late.
And it's not as if we can start without him.
No.
It's a bit thick. Fanny, is it true that Lenina Crown's having him?
Well, not yet.
I mean, she's so pneumatic. And he's so...
He's really...
You're late, Mr. Marks.
Oh, I'm sorry, Madam President. I didn't mean
to... Don't let it happen again. Now, let us worship our Ford with the singing of the first solidarity hymn.
We are 12, oh, make us one. Like drops within the social river. Oh, make us now. As thy shining flipper.
What on earth kept you, Bernard? What were you playing this afternoon?
Nothing.
Did you say nothing?
I wasn't playing anything, Lenina. I just wanted to be by myself.
Oh, Ford.
For when we end our larger...
aroma,
I drink
Bernard.
To my annihilation.
Oh, look, it's strawberry flavour, my favourite.
I don't want any.
Bernard, you must. It's an essential part of the service.
I drink to my annihilation.
I drink to my annihilation.
I drink to my annihilation.
I drink Bernard. To my annihilation.
I drink to my annihilation.
To the greater being.
I drink to the greater being.
I drink to the imminence of his coming.
I drink to the imminence of his coming.
Wonderful.
Ah, Mr. Marx. Sit down.
Thank you, Director.
Now, I'm not at all pleased with the reports I receive of your behaviour outside working hours.
Director, I have a permit for you to initial. It's been signed by the controller.
My workers must be above suspicion, particularly those of the highest castes. Alphas are so conditioned that they don't have to be infantile in their emotional behaviour, but that's all the more reason for their making a special effort to conform. And so, Mr. Marx, I... A permit? For the new Mexican reservation?
Yes, sir.
Hmm.
Sir, is something the matter?
I must have been your age. How long ago? 20 years, I suppose, nearer 25. I had the same idea as you. Wanted to have a look at the savages. Got a permit for New Mexico and went there for my summer holiday with the girl I was having at the time. I think she had yellow hair. Anyhow, she was pneumatic, particularly pneumatic, I remember that. Well, we went there, looked at the savages and all that, and then, well, she got lost. We'd gone riding up one of those revolting mountains, and after lunch we went to sleep, or at least I did. She must have gone for a walk. Alone.
Alone?
When I woke up, she wasn't there. And the most frightful thunderstorm I've ever seen was just bursting on us. I searched and I shouted, but there was no sign of her. She must have fallen into a gully somewhere or been eaten by a mountain lion. Ford knows. Anyhow, it was horrible. It upset me very much at the time. More than it ought to have done, I dare say. I mean, after all, the social body persists, although the component cells may change. I actually dream about it sometimes.
You must have had a terrible shock.
Yes. Well, don't imagine that I had any indecorous relation with the girl. Nothing emotional, nothing long drawn. It was all perfectly healthy and normal. And, Mr. Marx, let me say once more, if ever I hear again of any lapse from the proper standard of infantile decorum, I shall ask for your transfer to a sub-centre, preferably Iceland.
You can go to the bottomless past.
What did you say?
The permit, sir. For the Savage Reservation, I do need your signature.
Give it here.
Everyone belongs to everyone else.
Everyone works for everyone else.
When the
everyone works for everyone else.
Community reels.
Everyone works identity for everyone stability.
The community.
Everyone works identity for everyone else.
Stability. Community. Identity, stability. Community, identity, stability.
Look, Bernard, they have 60 escalator squash courts and obstacle golf. Oh, it sounds simply too lovely. I almost wish we could stay here in Santa Fe. 60 escalator squash courts.
Well, there won't be any in the reservation.
And no television, no hot water even. If you feel you can't stand it, stay here till I come back.
Of course I can stand it. I only said it was lovely here because... Well, because... Progress is lovely, isn't it?
500 repetitions once a week from 13 to 17.
What did you say?
I said that progress was lovely. That's why you mustn't come to the reservation unless you really want to.
But I do want to.
Very well, then. First, we have to meet the warden. Oh, Ford.
Bernard?
I've just remembered. I've left the eau de cologne tap running in my bathroom. It cost me a fortune by the time we get back. I'll telephone Helmholtz Watson. He'll go round and turn it
Bernard.
Off.
Bernard?
A decilitre of eau de cologne every
Bernard.
Minute. That's 6 litres an hour.
Have a gram of soma, then it won't matter. Bernard! Oh. What do you mean? I don't understand. The director...
He's looking for someone to take my place now. Helmholtz says it's all been decided. I'm going to be sent to Iceland.
Oh, Ford.
It's so unfair of him not to give me another chance. I was going to...
Was and will make me ill.
Yes. I can take a gram and only am.
Well, it's true, Bernard.
Mr. Marks, Miss Grant, are you ready to leave?
Upwards of 5,000 kilometres of fencing at 60,000 volts.
Really?
To touch the fence is instant death. There's no escape from a savage reservation. No escape. Those are actually born in the reservation. Yes, children are still actually born there and are destined to die there.
How many people live in the reservation?
Oh, perhaps around 60,000 Indians and half-breeds. Our inspectors occasionally visit, but otherwise they have no communication whatever with the civilized world. They still preserve their repulsive habits and customs. Marriage, if you know what that is, my dear young lady.
You don't say so.
Oh, yes, indeed. And monstrous superstitions of Christianity, totemism, ancestor worship. Not to mention extinct languages such as Zuni and Spanish and Athapascan.
Oh, look, Bernard. There's the fence now.
Yeah, yes, that's right. And those are bones, electrocuted. They never learn. And they never will learn. We'll be in Malpais in a few moments at the rest house. And there's a dance this evening at the Pueblo. It'll be funny, I expect. Everything they do is funny. And remember, they're perfectly tame. The savages won't do you any harm. They've got enough experience of gas bombs to know they mustn't play any tricks.
Vamos pronto. Están por comenzar. Vamos. Pronto, señor.
Bernard, I don't like it. And I don't like that man, that guide. He smells.
Lenina, he's an Indian.
I wish we could have brought the helicopter. I hate walking. Bernard, what's that? What are those men doing? Bernard, those are stakes.
Pronto, vamos, vamos.
Come on, Lenina.
I don't like it. I don't like it a bit. Bernard, wait for me. Oh, Ford, what's that in the hut?
It's a family, Lenina.
Bernard, you're not going in there. How can they live like this? Cleanliness is next to fraudliness. It's not possible. How can they?
Well, they've been doing it for the last 5,000 or 6,000 years, so I suppose they must be used to it by now.
But cleanliness is next to fraudliness. Everyone knows that.
Yes, and civilization is sterilization. But, Lenina, these people have never heard of our Ford, and they aren't civilized, so there's no point in...
What's the matter with him?
He's old, that's all. He's just an old man.
Old? But our director's old. Lots of people are old. They're not like that.
That's because we don't allow them to be like that. We preserve them from diseases. We keep their internal secretions artificially balanced. We don't permit their magnesium-calcium ratio to fall below what it was at 30. We give them... Lenina, you're not listening.
Bernard. Bernard, that woman has a baby at her breast. It's awful. It's indecent. We ought not to have come here. Oh, Ford, I've forgotten my soma. I must have left the bottle down at the rest house. Oh, Bernard.
I haven't any either.
Oh, let's get out of here. I don't like it. Bernard, what's he doing? Where have all these people come from?
Reminds me of Ford's Day Community Sing.
Hitler!
Oh.
It's some kind of primitive ritual. We're very fortunate to see this, Lenina.
What's happening now? Who's that boy?
I don't know. Perhaps he's the victim. Some sort of sacrifice.
Sacrifice? Bernard, what are they going to do to him?
Civilized, aren't you? You come from the other place, outside the reservation.
Who on earth are you?
Oh, a most unhappy gentleman.
I want my soma. A gram is better than a dam.
I ought to have been there. Why wouldn't they let me be the sacrifice? They could have had twice as much blood from me. The multitudinous seas incarnadine. But they wouldn't let me. They disliked me for my complexion. It's always been like that. Always.
Do you mean to say that you wanted to be hit with that whip?
Yes. For the sake of the Pueblo. To make the rain come and the corn grow. And to please Pukong and Jesus. And then to show that I can bear pain without crying out. Yes. And to show that I am a man.
But who are you? Where have you come from? You're surely not one of...
No. We are strangers here. My name is John. My mother, Linda.
Your mother?
Yes. You must meet her. My mother came here from the other place long ago, before I was born. She came with a man who was my father, and they went walking in those mountains over there to the north.
Really?
Linda, my mother, fell down a steep place and hurt her head.
Go on.
Well, some hunters from Malpais found her and brought her here to the Pueblo.
And... What happened to the man? What happened to your father?
She never saw him again. She said his name was Tomakin.
Tomakin? Might it have been Thomas?
Perhaps. But he must have flown away. Back to the other place without her. A bad, unkind, unnatural man.
Oh, he's that all right.
Yes. So... I was born here, in Malpais. Come. Come with me.
Oh, my dear, if you knew how glad, after all these years, a civilized face, so beautiful. Yes, and civilized clothes. I thought I'd never see a piece of real acetate silk again. And those adorable viscose velveteen shorts. I must touch you.
No, please.
You know,
please
my
don't.
Dear, I've still got all my old clothes.
Bernard, she's disgusting.
Put away
she's
in
so
the box.
Fat.
I'll show
two
you
of her teeth are missing
the
and those wrinkles.
Alina, she's just old.
Oh, for God's sake, Bernard, she wanted to kiss me.
She smells
horrible. But she's obviously never had a bath, and she's simply reeking of that nasty stuff they put into the Delta and Upsilon bottles.
That bandolier.
Too revolting. I'm going to be sick.
Told you, has he, what I had to suffer? Not a gram of soma to be had. I was so ashamed. Just think of it. Me, a beta, having a baby. Put yourself in my place.
Bernard, I am going to be sick.
I still don't know how it happened. I swear it. But all the same, it happened. And of course, that wasn't anything like the abortion centre here. Is it still down in Chelsea, by the way?
Yes, sir. Yes.
A lovely pink glass tower. And still floodlit on Tuesdays and Fridays.
Yes. Bernard, where are you going?
It's all right. John's taking me to see the village.
Bernard!
Back from Stoke Poges to a hot bath and a vibro vacuum massage. You've no idea how it upsets me, all this dirt. I had an awful cut on my head when they first brought me here. You can't imagine what they used to put on it.
Please.
Just filth. Civilization is sterilization, I used to say to them, but of course they didn't understand. How could they? And in the end, I suppose I got used to it. Anyway, how can you keep things clean when there isn't hot water laid on? And look at these clothes. This beastly wool isn't like acetate. It lasts and lasts. And you're supposed to mend it if it gets torn. But I'm a beta. I worked in the fertilizing room. Nobody ever taught me anything like that. Throw them away and buy new. The more stitches, the less riches. Isn't that right?
Well, of course it is.
Mending's antisocial, but it's all different here. It's like living with lunatics. For instance, take the way they have one another here. Mad, I tell you, absolutely mad. Everybody belongs to everyone else, don't they? Don't they?
Oh, yes, yes. Everyone belongs to everyone else.
Well, not here they don't.
It's as though we were living on different planets in different centuries. A mother and all this dirt and gods and old age and disease. It's almost inconceivable. I shall never understand unless you explain.
Explain what?
Everything. From the beginning. As far back as you can remember.
As far back as I can remember. I remember a night. It was very hot. We'd eaten a lot of tortillas and sweet corn. My mother said, "Come and lie down, baby." We lay down together in the big bed. I said, "Sing," and Linda sang. After a while, her voice got fainter and fainter. Suddenly, there was a loud noise, and I awoke. A man was standing by the bed. Enormous. Frightening. He was saying something to Linda, and Linda was laughing. His hair was like two black ropes, and round his arm was a lovely silver bracelet with blue stones in it. Linda said to the man, "Not with John here."
Nobody's supposed to belong to more than one person here. And if you have people in the ordinary way, the others think you're wicked and antisocial. They hate and despise you. Once a lot of women came and made a scene because their men came to see me. Well, why not?
Why not indeed?
And then they rushed at me.
Oh, no.
It was too awful. I can't tell you about it.
Oh, Linda, please.
They're so hateful, the women here. Mad, mad and cruel. And, of course, they know nothing about Malthusian drill or bottles or decanting or anything of that sort. So they're having children all the time, like dogs.
That's revolting.
After that, Hopi used to come often. He had a big gourd full of stuff called mescal. But Linda said it ought to have been called soma, only it made you feel ill afterwards. I hated Hopi. I hated them all. All the men who came to see Linda. The happiest times were when she told me about the other place. About the lovely music that comes out of a box. And the delicious things to eat and drink. And the pictures you can hear and feel and smell as well as see. And the happiness there every day.
Oh, yes. Every day.
Sometimes, when we children were tired with too much playing, one of the old men of the Pueblo would talk to us. Of the great transformer of the world, and the long fight between left hand and right hand, between wet and dry. Of a Wanawilona who made a great fog by thinking in the night. Of Earth Mother and Sky Father, of Jesus and Pukong. Of the black stone at Laguna, and the great eagle, and Our Lady of Acoma. Then Linda taught me to read. I learned quickly and easily. One day, it must have been soon after my 12th birthday, I came home and found a book I had never seen before lying on the floor in the bedroom. I picked it up and looked at the title page. The book was called The Complete Works of William Shakespeare. I opened the book at random. Nay, but to live in the rank sweat of an ensemed bed, stewed in corruption, honeying and making love over the nasty sty.
He tried to kill poor Wahoo Siwa once. Or was it Porpi? Just because I used to have them sometimes. Because I never could make him understand that that was what civilized people ought to do. Being mad's infectious, I believe. And John seems to have caught it from the Indians. Of course he was with them a lot, even though they were beastly to him and wouldn't let him do all the things the other boys did.
Which was a good thing, I should think.
Well, it made it easier for me to condition him a little, though you've no idea how difficult that is. So much one doesn't know. Wasn't my business to know. I mean, when a child asks you how a helicopter works, or who made the world, well, what are you to answer if you're a beta and have always worked in the fertilizing room? What are you to answer?
I hated Poppy more and more. A man can smile and smile and be a villain. Remorseless, treacherous, lecherous, kindless villain.
What do those words mean exactly?
I only half knew. Those words, that strange, strange story, they gave me a reason for hating Poppy. They made my hatred more real. They even made Poppy himself more real. One day, when I came in from playing, the door of the inner room was open, and I saw them lying together on the bed. Poppy was almost black beside her, and one of the plaits of his long hair lay across her throat like a black snake trying to strangle her. I felt empty and cold and sick. And those words repeated and repeated themselves in my head, remorseless, treacherous, lecherous. And suddenly there were more words. When he is drunk, asleep, or in his rage, or in the incestuous pleasure of his bed. When he is drunk, asleep. The knife for the meat was lying on the floor near the fireplace. I picked it up. When he is drunk, asleep, drunk, asleep. I ran across the room and stabbed. Oh, the blood, and stabbed again. And Linda was crying, look at the blood, look at the blood. There were two cuts on Poppy's shoulder. And he was laughing. Poppy was laughing.
When he was 16, there was a girl, an Indian girl. I don't know what came over John. I mean, everyone belongs to everyone else, after all. But they marry here.
What?
Marry. You know, forever. They say forever in the Indian words. It can't be broken.
Oh, no.
Yes. Anyway, the Indian girl married her Indian boy. And John went away to be by himself. I told John, in civilized countries, when a boy wants to have a girl, he just has
her. Of course he does. Everyone belongs to everyone else. I know, I know. Oh, Ford, I can't wait to get back to the rest house and have a good long Soma holiday.
Oh, Soma.
At the full moon in the Antelope Kiva, boys go down into the kiva and come out again, men. When my time came, I went with the others and began to climb down the ladder into the red lighted depths. Not for you, white hair. Not for the son of the she-dog. The other boys laughed, and the men threw stones at me to drive me away into the darkness. I was alone. Always alone.
So am I. Terribly alone.
Are you? I thought that in the other place, I mean, Linda always said that nobody was ever alone there.
Well, I feel like an outsider sometimes, and I suppose I behave like one. You can't imagine how I envy people who take everything for granted. You see, I'm rather different from most people. If one happens to be decanted different, I am I, and I wish I wasn't.
Yes, that's just it. If one's different, one's bound to be lonely. Once I did something that none of the others did. I stood against a rock in the middle of the day, in summer, with my arms out like Jesus on the cross.
What on earth for?
I wanted to know what it was like to be crucified, hanging there in the sun.
But why?
Why? Well, because I felt I ought to. If Jesus could stand it, and then if one has done something wrong. Besides, I was unhappy. That was another reason. I fainted after a time.
Seems a funny way of curing your unhappiness. Well, maybe it's better than taking Soma. Listen. John, I wonder if you'd like to come back to London with us.
Do you really mean that?
Of course. If I can get permission, that is.
Linda, too.
Linda? Your mother? Well, yes. Yes, why not? Of course.
Oh, to think it should be coming true. What I've dreamt of all my life. Do you remember what Miranda says?
Who's Miranda?
Oh, wonder. How many goodly creatures are there here? How beauteous mankind is. Oh, brave new world. Are you married to her?
My what?
Married.
Oh, no.
Oh, brave new world. Oh, brave new world that hath such people in it.
Yes. Perhaps you'd better wait till you see it. Lenina Crown's gone on Soma holiday. 6 half-gram tablets, so she won't be back before 5.
Which leaves us 7 hours, Mr. Marks. Do you have much business in Santa Fe?
I'll be back in Malpais long before she wakes up. She wanted a complete and absolute holiday. She will be quite safe here by herself.
Safe as helicopters.
Bernard? Bernard! They haven't gone. Surely they wouldn't. Bernard! Lenina! Bernard! Bernard! Is that you?
And I ventured to think, sir, that your fordship might find the matter of sufficient scientific interest.
Yes, I do find it of sufficient interest, Mr. Marks. Bring these two individuals back to London with you.
Your fordship is aware that I shall need a special permit.
The necessary orders are being sent to the warden of the reservation at this moment. You will proceed at once to the warden's office. Good morning, Mr. Marks.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Her hair, her cheek, her gait, her voice, handless in their discourse. Oh, that a hand in whose comparison all whites are ink writing their own reproach, to whose soft seizure the signet's down is harsh, flies. On the white wonder of dear Juliet's hand, may seize and steal immortal blessing from her lips,
who even in pure and vestal modesty still blush as thinking their own kisses sin. Oh, Lenina. Darling Lenina. Bernard!
Yes, a public example, Mr. Forster. In the fertilizing room, because it contains our high-caste workers. I've told him to meet me there at 2:30.
Mind you, Marx does his work very well, Director.
I know, but that's all the more reason for severity. The greater a man's talents, the greater his power to lead astray. Consider the matter dispassionately, Mr. Forster, and you'll see that no offence is so heinous as unorthodoxy of behaviour. Yeah. It strikes at society itself. Yes, at society itself. Ah, there he is.
Good afternoon, Director. You asked me to come and speak to you here.
Yes, Mr. Marks, I did ask you to come to me here. You returned from your holiday last night, I understand.
Yes.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen,
sir,
you must excuse me for interrupting your labours. A painful duty constrains me. The security and stability of society are in danger. Yes, in danger, ladies and gentlemen. This man, this Alpha Plus, to whom so much has been given, and from whom in consequence so much must be expected, has grossly betrayed his trust. By his heretical views on sport and soma, by the scandalous unorthodoxy of his sex life, by his refusal to obey the teachings of our Ford and behave out of office hours like a babe in a bottle, he has proved himself an enemy of society, a subverter, ladies and gentlemen, of all order and stability, a conspirator against civilization itself. For this reason, I propose to dismiss him, with ignominy from the post he has held in this center. I propose forthwith to apply for his transference to a sub-centre of the lowest order, as far as possible removed from any important centre of population. In Iceland, he will have small opportunity to lead others astray by his unfordly example.
Community, identity, stability! Community, identity, stability! Community, identity, stability!
Mr. Marx, can you show any reason why I should not execute the judgment passed upon you?
Yes, I can.
Then show it.
Certainly. But it's in the passage. One moment. Come in, Linda. Don't be shy. You see? There he is.
Oh, do you think I wouldn't recognize him? Of course, I knew you, Tomkin. I should have known you anywhere among a thousand. But perhaps you've forgotten me. Don't you remember? Don't you remember, Tomkin? It's me, Linda. You're Linda, Tomkin, darling.
Who is this creature? What's the meaning of this monstrous...
I'm your Linda. Linda, don't you remember? You made me have a baby. Yes, you made me have a baby. A baby, and I was its mother. It wasn't my fault, Tomkin. I always did the drill, didn't I? Always. I don't know how it happened. But still, he's been a comfort to me. John? John, he's here.
Yes. Come on out, John.
Father! My father!